I recall one of the, well, there were many jobs when I was in the service that I didn't care for. But the one that I really didn't like the most was the one where I had to stand guard. When I first enlisted and went to boot camp, I got on that first night, well, 3 days afterwards, I hadn't had any sleep yet, but I got guard duty that night to watch the coal oil stove. We had Quonset huts. Anybody remembers what those are? And it was not fun. Now, I didn't really fully grasp it then why they were having me do this, but later on, 50 years later, I kind of got the picture that it was important training. But I still could not figure out after we got into a building why they had me guard the head, well, the bathroom, for those of you who don't know what that is. But I had to stand guard for a four-hour shift over the bathroom. And I thought, this is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, again, the reason behind it was to do what I was told and not to ask questions. Me, I was a real hard learner. I had to ask questions which were not acceptable to ask. And sometimes, and I relate that to what I want to share with you today, because we do the very same thing with the Lord God. Instead of doing, we give all the ifs, ands, and buts that we can and ask questions, why do we need to do this? Well, the passage that I want to share with you is a short passage, but it's a very important passage because it talks about being a watchman. Now, this verse is related many times to just pastors, and they are, but I see it so much more detailed than just being pastors. I see watchmen being those that teach Sunday school classes. I see watchmen as those being and teaching children. I see watchmen being those fathers that are in homes. I see those as moms who take care of that home. I see all believers in one way, one degree, being a watchman. And you know that's a command from God. And the passage I want to look at and share with you this morning is out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. And I want to read through verse 21. So if you would you please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning? And the word of God says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from their wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yes, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man, and the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Let us pray. My Father and my God, I just truly thank you, Lord, for this day. And I pray that all that we do will bring glory and honor to you. and that we may truly set aside any obstacle, any other thing that may be distracting us, disrupting our worship, disrupting the Spirit's work in our lives, whatever it may be, may we put it aside. Lord God, I just pray that you speak to us, each and every one of us this morning. In your precious holy name, amen. There are several things that I want to share with you this morning out of this passage that I believe are very, very important. And the first thing that I want us to see is that we have a responsibility to be watchmen. I mean, this was a command that the Lord God gave to Ezekiel. This is not just a specific specific command to him. It's a specific command to all of God's people, I personally believe. In this case, he was called to be a watchman over Israel. He was to be their prophet, their leader, their guide. He was to give them warnings. He was to correct them. Well, the pastor, as the shepherd of that particular body of Christ, is called a watchman too. And I take this very personal in my life because I want to give you what it takes to be a watchman so you might be prepared to be a watchman in your situation and your circumstance. Because it is vital for the telling of the gospel and the giving of the word and the protecting of God's people. So what are some of the responsibilities? Looking up watchmen, seeing what a watchman is, I come up with four things that a watchman is responsible for. Number one is a watchman is responsible to protect. Protect his people. Protect the saints. That's what Ezekiel was being called to do, to protect the people of Israel. Well, what did that protection mean? Well, it meant many different things. One thing that I can tell you it meant is he was to protect them from false teaching. And you know that I have stood here in this pulpit many times explaining to you false teachers and false teachings, and the reason that you need to beware of them. Because if you're not, they will subtly sink themselves like teeth into flesh, and they will take hold of you. We need, as watchmen, I wanted to protect my children. As a father, long before I became a minister, I wanted to be a watchman in my home as a father to protect my children from the lies and the false teachings that are out in the world. Like evolution for being one. And many other teachings out there. You see, watchmen, it goes and it rolls down to the simplicity of our families and those Christian brothers and sisters that are around us. We are watchmen to protect them from the false teaching and the lies of Satan. How many in this congregation this morning believe and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Satan is a liar? Say amen. He is a liar, and he will lie to you, and he will lie to all of those around them to deceive them. I, as a watchman, need to protect you from that deception as best I can. It's paid a pretty price in my ministry many times. There are many that have got up and walked out because they didn't like to hear the truth. Many that quit coming to church because they didn't like having to explain and tell and teach these truths. Not my truths, mind you. I don't want to teach anything that is outside of God's truth. His written truth. That's what's important. That's what I want to teach. And you know what? False teachings is something that every one of the apostles, in fact, Jude wrote his little book, wrote about the unity of the faith, but he couldn't. He had to write about the contending of liars and deceivers entering into the church. We have to be watchmen. Because I can tell you, I've been in church my whole life. And I've seen those that come in and talk a good game. I've seen those that come in and may they sound so holy and so righteous and so great and so good and be the very tool that Satan uses to divide that church in half. I've seen that happen. And it happens continually and daily. Satan loves no more than to cause discouragement. First to be discouraged. Okay, I get it. We're discouraged. We don't have the plumbing that we need to have. Okay? Not your fault. Not my fault. Age is the fault if you want to blame it on anything. Okay? Your plumbing don't work as well as it used to either if from the time you were 12 years old to 80. You know that. Well, you know what? You can't blame it on something else. You know, we all get discouraged about things in life. But my God is greater than discouragement. And I want to protect you from discouragement. That's why I'm not afraid to address issues that need to be addressed. I'm not afraid to take on what needs to be taken on, whether it's my problem or my fault or not, doesn't matter. I'd rather have it weigh on me than to cause a problem within the fellowship and the body of Christ. Wouldn't you? You see, we need to protect from false teachings. We need to protect from discouragement. We need to protect others, each other from sin. You say, well, how do I do that? By teaching about sin. By not glossing over it. By not saying, as I've heard so many times, well, God understands I'm only human. I'm sorry if you said that and you believe that, that isn't going to fly. It is not going to fly when you stand before God. God, I was just reading an awesome psalm this morning that talked about how God understands who we are. He understands that. We don't have to remind him of it. He created us. And he loves us and he cares for us. Even in our iniquity, he does. He gives us an opportunity to repent and to get right. Amen? He does. Because he knows that we're from dust. He knows that. I have not learned how to tiptoe through the tulips when it comes to telling people about sin. You know, sin comes in many forms. It comes in promiscuity, illicit sex. Okay? Nobody wants to hear that because nobody wants to teach that at home. Well, I'm sorry. It needs to be taught. If we're not teaching it in our home, I'll tell you what, somebody's going to be out there willing to teach it to them. Oh, yeah. We need to teach them about this popular thing about this transgenderism and all that kind of balahoo. You know? If we're not teaching them the truth, and you know all you got to do is go to Romans 1. That's all you got to do. Romans 1 is so clear. But you know what all about Romans 1 tells me? The greatest deal on that is simply this. That there comes a time when we continue on a road of iniquity and sin and we continue to go down that road, God will turn us over to the perverseness of our minds. Whoa. From that, there is usually no recovery. That doesn't mean God can't do everything because he can. But you see, a watchman protects. And I want to do my best to protect this little fold out of the big household of faith that we can serve and live and love and show in our communities and our homes and with each other that love is far greater than criticism. Love is far greater than disappointment and discouragement. Because there is not a one of us that will not walk out this door and disappoint our Lord God. Not a one of us. There's not a one of us that will walk out this door and through some circumstance of the day get discouraged. But I'm here to tell you that my God is the one who lifts up our discouragement, our despair. And he can change our criticism into encouragement. That's the power of my God. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So, We need to protect one another as watchmen of the saints of discouragement, sin, and safety for one another. Another thing that a watchman does is a watchman patrols. When I had to guard the depot, the ammunition depot, I didn't just stand there. I had a fence line in which I had to walk and guard. Well, you know what a watchman does in the household of faith? They go out and patrol, in a sense, in their everyday movements and allows God to allow them to be alert with what's around them. A watchman is always alert. How are we as watchmen going to be alert? We're going to be alert to the needs of the saints and how we might have an opportunity to help them. And we're going to be alert to the unbeliever and the unrighteousness, how to share with them the word of God and the word of truth, that they may come to the place of being saved. Is that not important to us? Isn't that part and parcel to with what we're supposed to be doing? Miss Jerry works in the Good News Clubs. My wife was saved in one of those Good News Clubs. And she went to church, to a cult church, for 7 years of her life, Mormon church. The only thing she learned from the Mormon church was John 3:16. I know God protected her mind. She left there, and she went to a little Baptist church just down the road on the corner from her house. She went to school, and in that school there was a lady that was passing out flyers to come to a Good News Club. Of course, in today's schools today, that's really hard to do because, you know, separation of church and state, which doesn't exist in the Constitution, by the way. But anyway, she picked up one of those flyers, and she went several weeks to the Good News Club, and she gave her heart and her mind and her life to the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I'm here to tell you something. She was never the same after that. That was her salvation. So you know what? There's all kinds of things that we do. God moves us in all kinds of ways. We're to be out there patrolling the highways and the byways, beating the bushes to see who's going to come scurrying out, that we might gently grab them with the word of God. Unfortunately, the church doesn't leave a real delicate, savory taste in the mouth of many people. I know that from going door to door. Most of them moved out here to get away from churches because they've been hurt in churches. They've been treated badly in churches. They didn't fit in with the core of the church. There is no core but the cross. That is the core of the church. And anyone seeking help, seeking God's presence in their life, should be able to come into this church and find it. Whether they look like you, dress like you, or even smell like you, does not matter. But it does most highfalutins. You all know what a highfaluter is, right? That's the ones that Jesus talked about, you know. When you want to impress, you set them at the back because they got all the gold and the jewels and all the stuff dangling off of them. And the poor one that was really seeking, he gets to sit in the back on the bench. That's not what church is. Church is a place where we go out and we mingle into the community, mingle into the neighborhoods. I don't care if they tell me I can't take my Bible anywhere. I take it with me anywhere. Even if I don't have this one with me, I have it here. And I read it everywhere I want to read it. And nobody's going to stop me. Yes, they can throw me in jail. They can come and say, you got to perform this now. It's a law. You have to do same-sex marriage. I would rather go to jail than to do that and to break my faith and my conscience. I will not do that. And I am standing here to say to you, I will lead you down that road. Am I asking for it? No. But if it came, it comes. You see, I want to get out there and mingle with people and let them know why my heart is the way that it is and why God loves them and I can love them too because of His love in me. You see, I'm not a lovable guy. You're not really lovable either. We like to think we are, but we're really not. And the thing is, God is the one who makes us lovable. Because He takes away all that nasty junk that's within us. And He transforms us. We've been studying the difference on Wednesday night between conforming and transforming. Conforming is just looking the outward part. Transforming is letting yourselves to be cooked from the inside out and changed. God has transformed my life. When I suck my last breath, I will still not be perfect. But I'm still transforming while I'm moving and I'm growing, just like I pray that you are. I pray that in some way, every Sunday, even if it's in a small way, that whatever God gives me, He uses those words in your heart and your life to encourage you. And if there's somebody lost in here, you need to know God loves you. You need to know He loves you. And you know what? You can't sit there forever on the fence and say, I'll do it this day, or I'll do it in the future. I'll do it then. You don't know if you've got a future. You don't know. You got to do it now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and this written word is absolute. It's absolute. A watchman's on patrol. Another thing that a watchman is, he perceives. He doesn't perceive from his own perception of things. He perceives in the world around him in the way of spiritual things. He is alert to the opportunities in which he can share his faith, into which he can encourage a brother or a sister. You know, it doesn't take some supernatural act of the Spirit to just give us a heart of compassion, to look around at our brothers and sisters and say, you know what? I can see they're hurting. I can see that they need something in their life. If we don't reach out, that is the ultimate act of selfishness to me. It really is. You've heard me speak about those, whether they come in and just want gas money or want this or want that, you know. I don't care if I'm being played. You understand what that means? I don't care if somebody's just out there to take advantage of me. That's not the point. What I do is an act from the Lord God. What they do with it, or however they use it, that's on them. And if they've lied and deceived me to use it for whatever they wanted to use it for, guess what? They're going to stand before the God, my judge. They're going to stand before Him, but guess what? So am I. Now, that doesn't mean if I honestly don't have it, I can't give it. But God has blessed me so much. He has. He's blessed me so much, and He's blessed you so much. If you've got a good, healthy family and a spouse that's still with you, and you're in love, and you know you care about everything, I mean, you can't get it any better than that. You're blessed. You're so blessed. My friend, let's be perceptive. Let's look around as a watchman and see where God might use us to impact positively the life of someone else. Because understand something. I refuse to let any criticism, although over the years I've had to grow pretty thick skin. As a pastor, you have to. Or you take everything personal. But I'm not going to be discouraged about criticism here this morning. You want to know why? Because it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. And you want to know why I don't care? Because I'm not going to stand in judgment before God and say, you know what? I got my feelers hurt. And I'm going to treat them just like they treated me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. In my younger days, I've been a little guilty of that at times. And maybe you have too. I want to be part of a big, happy family. How about you? Isn't that what's awesome? We're happy. We can smile. And if you're not smiling, get smiling. You got something to smile about. Okay? The fourth thing of a watchman is a watchman proclaims. When he spots trouble, Ezekiel was told not to be silent. Now, in Sunday school class, we talked about the word of prophecy. Not the foretelling of the future, not the proclaiming a new word, but the preaching of God's word and the teaching of it in truth. Okay? And prophecy is the telling of the word of God in truth. But prophecy has a, you got to watch out for this, clause in it. Because anybody that comes up to you and says, I got a word for you, you need to, guess what I do? I turn around and walk away because they have no clue. If God doesn't tell me first, he's not going to tell you what to tell me to do. He's going to talk to my heart, and then he may use you to confirm what he's doing in my life. Let me give you an example. When I had pastored in Las Lunas, I'd been there probably 10 years. We had grown. We needed new space. I have never, ever been the leader of a construction project. And you know, the pastor's supposed to be the leader. I had my hammer taken away when I was small because I couldn't even pound a nail straight. My grandfather was to do. He scarred me for life. But you see, God began to say, you need to lead this church in building an educational building. I laughed. I said, you got to be kidding me. What do I do? Where do I even begin? You're talking to the wrong person here. And I'm saying it just like how I felt it. Well, then one person come up and say, you know, Pastor, the Lord's leading me to begin to pray with you about building an educational building. Okay. Well, you just continue to pray about it. Don't talk to me, talk to him. Well, after about six people, at least, come up to me and said, you know what? God is leading us. I know it. To build an educational building because we need one to teach our kids and to teach children and to teach our teenagers. And to have a place to do it. I said, okay. God, whatever your will is, we'll do it. The first thing I did was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. In doing and leading the church to building an educational building. Well, I didn't know anything about the laws and all that stuff. That's the least thing I care about, at least the physical laws, this law I care about, but that I did. Well, we started, we did a footer all the way around it. We had the plans, we got all that done, we dug. And the foundation came out because they were the one footing the bill for it. We were borrowing the money from them. And they said, what did you do? Well, we did a footer. I said, you can't do a footer yet. Did you go down to the deed place and get that okayed? No. They said, well, you're done. They won't do it. I said, if God wants this done, they will do it. He said, okay, you go try it. So I did. I took it down there. I said, this is what we're doing. We already started the footer and stuff. And they said, okay, gave it to us. I took it back to the foundation, said, here it is. He looked at me like he couldn't believe. I said, that's faith, and that's God at work. Because he knows I sure don't know what I'm doing. I'm glad he does. Amen. You see, that's what it means to proclaim the word and the actions of God. He can use, what does it say? In our greatest weaknesses comes through his greatest strength. I've seen that so many times. Proclaim the truth wherever you are. You see, it may not be popular. And sometimes it may not even be wanted. But it is necessary. So that's the four things that I have garnered from what it means to be a watchman. We protect, we patrol, we perceive, and we proclaim the word of God. Now, the second thing that I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to just stop there and finish the other two tonight, and that is to receive our marching orders. That's where we come into a big problem today, too. We hear the marching orders because you can't ignore it. It's right here. It's right in God's Word. And God's Spirit opens up His Word to the truth, to what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. He said to Ezekiel, "Therefore, hear the word of my mouth." Now you think about this for a moment. Ezekiel had a really good clue of the people of Israel. He knew where their hearts were. And yet, God was calling on him to be a watchman over the house of Israel and be the spokesperson for him to tell them the truth. I don't want to stand up here and tell you my perception of things. I don't want to stand up here and just tell you a bunch of funny stories, which happens a lot of times. I try to really stick to the Word of God because it's the most important thing. If I can use an illustration to illuminate something, fine and dandy. But you know what? I find a lot of own biblical illustrations that do the same thing. You see, we're no different than Ezekiel. God says for you and I, to receive the Word of God in our hearts and spread that Word everywhere we go. In truth, popular or not popular, in tight and uncomfortable situations, even with family. And family is usually the most uncomfortable situations you can proclaim God's word. I've had more family walk out on me in a preaching service than I have anybody else. I did a funeral of a family member, and I've shared this maybe several times, but I did that funeral, and that I spoke with a lady before she passed, and she said, "I want you to preach, and I want you to tell them about Jesus, and I want you to tell them when they die, that if they don't know him, they're going to go to hell." That was my kind of a lady, let me tell you. I have no problem with that. So that's exactly what I did, per her request. Well, I told her this is the way I do it anyway, and she said, "Good, that's what I want you to do." During that sermon time, it was believed I should have patty-fingered, made things all sound good and fluffy. You just believe anything you want to believe and everybody's going to go to heaven and all's good and well and dandy. Well, I didn't. Halfway through that sermon, I had 6 family members walk out on me. They were so mad at me because I didn't do it their way. Sorry, I'm never going to do it our way. I will only do it God's way. And he convicted me a long time ago. All of you here, or most of you here, have been in one of my funerals and memorial services. There is no better place than to get people to look at a casket or at an urn and get them to understand they've got a mortality. In other words, there's an ending to their date. The question is, are you prepared after the date? Without Jesus, you're not prepared. And that's the word of God, my friend. Without Jesus Christ here this morning, you're not prepared. And I don't mean knowing of his name. I mean having received him into your life and turning your life over to him and making him the one who sits on the throne of your life. That's the one I'm talking about. Are we fulfilling that truth in Scripture today? Do we know Jesus Christ? Jesus says it takes more than knowing his name, because the demons know his name. And they, what's the word? Tremble. Tremble, tremble, tremble. Yeah. Well, they'll be doing a lot more than that at the end time. And so will all of those people and those humans that weren't ready to meet their expiration date. Only you can do something about it. You have to trust in the one who, from the foundations, you know, I keep thinking about that as we've studied 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, it says that Jesus Christ was prepared to be our sacrifice from the foundations of the world, the earth. That means at its creation, he was already prepared to die on a cross for our sins. Do you realize that? God knew we would fail. And he still loves us. And he still loves you. My friend, don't leave without Jesus this morning. And if you're a Christian and you're struggling with something today, I want you to know I'm on your side. I want you to know I care about you. And I want you to know that there's an answer. There's an answer that comes through faith and trust in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do you believe that this morning? Well, listen to it. Listen to it. I'm here to tell you. It is important. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, to make that profession of faith before all others. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you do not confess me or deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. We need to confess. And there's no one in this room that can point a finger at anybody else. We need to confess our sins, and we need to confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then if we have truly done that, the second command of obedience is to be baptized. Baptism does not save you. Baptism strengthens your testimony, because baptism is the uniform of a believer. That's what it is. That's why if a Jewish man, woman, child was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they were excommunicated. You could confess it and profess it, but if you were baptized in it, you took on a new uniform. We need to be baptized because that was the first act of obedience after our salvation. So you need to pray about that, and you need to think seriously on it if you've never been. Because it will honor and please God for you to do so. God's word has been given to us, and it has been given to you. My friend, my brother, my sister, he's leaving it up to us what we want to do with it. Let's not squander it. Let's not waste it. Let's not go through life, living life, just like we always have. Let's let our lives be a living testimony and a glory to our Heavenly God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he did on that cross that you and I couldn't do for ourselves.